Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Our next guest is the 2002 Heisman Trophy winner, a three-time Pro Bowler, had his number three retired by USC. Joining us here on Radio Row from Super Bowl 54 is Carson Palmer. Carson, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. Great. How are you?
It's great to see you, man.
You too.
How you doing? You
too. Great.
Yeah.
Great. Glad to be in Miami.
You know, Miami is a place where Super Bowls oftentimes are epic. We've had so many memorable ones. We had Elway's final game, Joe Montana's comeback against the Bengals, John Taylor, 20 seconds left. They beat the Bengals. We've had some really, we had Peyton Manning's first Super Bowl championship, 06 here.
Drew Brees won one here, right?
Drew Brees, that's right.
Yeah.
Yep, Brees and the onside kick.
Yep.
So a lot of epic ones. I always wonder, you and I are the same age. I remember watching that Joe Montana Super Bowl where he comes back against the Bengals. Were you a Super Bowl fan or an NFL fan growing up, and do you remember watching some guys?
I remember growing up going to wherever my parents' Super Bowl party in the neighborhood was, and the TV room was just crowded with a bunch of drunk dads. And as kids, we would go in, we'd grab some Doritos, some Cheetos, you know, a Sprite or a Mountain Dew, and then we'd be right back outside. I don't think I ever watched a Super Bowl just because it was just a bunch of drunk dads yelling at the game and, you know, whatever. And us kids were outside playing football in the backyard or playing, you know, kick the can out front, hide and go seek, whatever it was.
See, in California, you can do that. A lot of places in February, you cannot go out and play during the Super Bowl.
Very
true. The only thing is you have to sit inside with your drunk dad.
Yeah.
And it's difficult.
No, we were spoiled. We got away from the drunk dads. We were outside. I remember one year we were at a neighbor's house. They had a pool. We were in the pool. It was probably completely unsupervised and would never happen today's day. There was, you know, 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds and 12-year-olds jumping in the pool, cannonballs.
Yeah.
No parents outside.
Nice.
So, yeah, that was one of the good things about growing up in Southern California.
Was it scarring at all to have all those drunk dads around Super Bowl? Did you make make you feel like, you know what, now I'll never love it?
No, not at all. Not at all. No, I've got great Super Bowl memories. But back to your point about Miami. Miami's a very Super Bowl environment.
The
it's
most.
Great, isn't it? I mean, San Diego was great. There was a Super Bowl, I think, probably 20 years ago now in San Diego that was great.
New Orleans is great.
New Orleans, another good one. But, you know, the Minnesota, the Minneapolis one was tough. There's some very Super Bowl spots and there's some very non-Super Bowl spots. Miami is definitely a very Super Bowl city.
Carson Palmer joins us this morning on the show. You are drafted by the Bengals in 2003. You do not start year number one. John Kitna starts that year. You then start year number two. Same thing happened in Kansas City. We just heard Patrick Mahomes talk about how learning under Alex Smith was an enormous value to him going into year number two. How much did it help you?
Same thing. I mean, really a very similar situation. You know, Patrick gets drafted to a team that was really they didn't need a quarterback. They took a quarterback.
Right.
And they groomed their young guy underneath the vet that was smart and a great leader and a perfect pro in Alex Smith. And I went to the same exact situation in Cincinnati. John Kitna was a perfect pro. He groomed me. He taught me. I watched him. I worked out with him. I watched film with him. I listened to it the way he addressed the team before games, the way he addressed the team on a Wednesday in a run install meeting and a pass install meeting on Thursday, the red zone on Friday. You know, I just went through all the steps and got to see an amazing vet do it in front of me. And Patrick did the same thing with Alex. Alex is the same kind of guy, a great leader, a great vet, a great teammate. And it was instrumental in my career. And I think what you're saying is Patrick was admitting that was an instrumental, integral part of his progression to be in the Super Bowl in year three.
Were there moments where John Kitna just taught you about life in the NFL?
Every day. I mean, we went
beyond football.
We went right from practice and meetings to watching film after practice to the golf course on off days. went over to his house. They would hold team Bible study for the families and the guys with spouses or significant others. I mean, it was an all-encompassing opportunity to be around a guy and a vet and a leader. But again, I mean, it was instrumental in my 15-year career. That first 2 years I got to spend with John Kitna, and just like Patrick, his first year behind Alex Smith was tremendous experience for him.
Carson Palmer is our guest here on Radio Row on the DA Show here on CBS Sports Radio. You're the number one pick overall. If you are a player that plays wide receiver, running back, defensive end, I have a feeling that maybe you can get away with being a kid a little bit more in the NFL and then grow up. I wonder, though, as the number one pick face of a franchise quarterback, are you ever allowed to be a quote-unquote kid in the NFL if you have that position and that draft spot?
No. I mean, you're part of being the number one pick is you're not a kid, right? Yeah. As a quarterback, there's no owners or head coaches that want a kid. They want a man, and whether he's, you know, year three, an early entrant as a junior coming out of college, or a fifth year senior like I was, you want a mature leader of, you know, a guy that comes in and can get mixed in with the veteran group of guys on the team. You don't want a young guy. You want that energy. You want that that fearlessness of a kid. But when it comes to being the quarterback or being the number one pick, in today's day and age, the valuations of these organizations, I mean, these are multi-billion dollar companies. They're not trying to take a chance on a kid. These guys want they want a mature veteran leader.
Is it hard to lead when you're 22 or 23 years old and trying to get 29, 30, 31-year-olds to follow you?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think that's all in each player's makeup. You know, you either have that ability to be a leader regardless of age. But I used to always tell Tyrann Mathieu came in as a rookie when I was in Arizona. We drafted him in the third round. And I remember having one of my first conversations with him. I said, if you're good enough, you're old enough. So if you're good enough and you can make enough plays, you're old enough. I don't care if you're 18, 28, or 38.
And that's how the guys in the locker room consider it.
Yeah, if you're good enough and you can make this team better, then the vets will open you with or welcome you with open arms. And you can step into that leadership group or that leadership circle that every team has. So, in today's day and age, especially with the duration of these young rookie quarterbacks' contracts, when I came in the league, it was a six-year deal. Now they're on four-year deals with an option on the last. So you don't have the luxury of letting a guy really sit around and wait. These young guys are getting drafted to play, and you only have a couple years to determine, are you going to give this guy a long-term max contract, or are you going to let him walk? So you don't have that option and that luxury of letting him sit. And it's changed the game a little bit, I think. I think you're seeing a lot of these guys come right from college and transition in the NFL and have success. You look at what Kyler Murray did this year. He doesn't have a ton of experience. He hasn't been playing college football for 4 years at Oklahoma. He played a little bit at Oklahoma. He started off at Texas Tech or at Texas A&M, but he doesn't have a ton of experience. But you got to get him in. You don't have that year that
Redshirt
year, if you want to reference a college term, yeah. So you're coming in, you're forced to play. You know, you only have those couple of years, those 2 years where you're evaluating, is this guy worth 30 a year or 22 a year or 35 a year? When you have to make that kind of decision, you need as much film as you can get.
Carson Palmer joins us this morning on the show. The year after you get drafted, Eli Manning says, I don't want to play for the Chargers. He gets ended up shifted and traded over to the Giants. There's been some thought that maybe Joe Burrow wouldn't want to play for the Bengals if he gets drafted number one overall. When you got drafted number one, was there any sense that you did not want to get drafted by the Bengals and would want to force your hand somewhere else?
No, that was, you're taking me back in time. When I was going through that process, and I was, interviewing agents and going through, where am I going to train for the draft and where am I going to train for the combine and all those things. And as I was interviewing NFL people, I was told time and time again, starting with Boomer Esiason told me the night after I won the Heisman Trophy, I went and did an interview with him for CBS. Everybody I was talking to along the way was just, you can't go to Cincinnati, you got to go somewhere else. You can't play for the Bengals. You can't play for the Bengals. And I at the time was going, this is awesome. I'm going to go in there and I'm good enough. I was arrogant. I was a young, arrogant kid. I'm good enough. I'm going to change the whole thing around. And I'm going to change the narrative. Obviously, I wasn't able to change that narrative and flip that. But everybody
did, because you guys ended up becoming a winner in 2005.
Yeah, but I mean, you're judged on Super Bowls, and that's, you know, that's the standard. So obviously, we didn't win a Super Bowl, but everybody was telling me don't go there, and I was the only one thinking, man, these people are all crazy. So I know Joe's getting hammered by everybody as he's going along through the interview process, and even here, I'm sure he'll end up being here, and he's going to get hammered on every interview. Are you going to go to Cincinnati? Are you going to pull an Eli? Are you going to pull an Eli? So, I mean, that's the narrative. And if Joe's anything like I was, which was a young, arrogant kid that thought I was good enough to change it, then he'll dig his feet in the ground and say, no, I'm going to go number one, and I'm going to go to the Bengals.
Do you feel like you guys didn't get there because the organization didn't support you enough, or because of the injury that you suffered in 05?
Well, that injury, you know, when you think back to that injury in the playoffs in 05 against the Steelers, you know, we had won the division. We had beat Pittsburgh pretty handedly when we played them that year, and we had their number. I definitely felt like that. And then they would go on.
You hit Chris Henry in an 86-yard touchdown on that throw that Kimo von Allhoffen comes into your knee on.
Well, they went on and won the Super Bowl. So there's always the what if, but I'm a firm believer in things happen for a reason, and that was not our year, and that was Pittsburgh's year.
So do you feel like the organization gave you enough support to win?
No, I mean, that's why I wanted out. Is I never felt like the organization was really trying to win a Super Bowl and really chasing a Super Bowl, because that's what today's day and age is. The game today is you can't just hope you draft well and not go after free agents and you end up in the Super Bowl. You got to go get it. And I then went and played for Michael Bidwell in Arizona, and Michael was all about winning. Everything was about winning. The culture was about winning, and we, you know, very fortunately, you know, the year before I got to Arizona, I think they'd won a couple games or three or four games, and Michael Bidwell dug his feet in the ground, and I saw an owner say, we're going to go after this. We're going to do what it takes to win. And at the end of the day, when owners do what it takes to win and have that type of mentality, and everybody's on board, you know, I saw it right before my eyes. We, you know, 10 wins, 11 wins, 12 wins, whatever it was, those next 3 years. And you know, when the organization is completely behind doing what it takes to win, then and you got the right players, then that's the recipe for a Super Bowl. When you got good players, but you're not really, you know, not really forcing everybody in the organization's hand to do what we can to be better, to do what we can to win a Super Bowl. You know, that's the difference in the NFL. You look at what Bob Kraft's done. You look at the teams that have had success year in, year out. You look at what goes on in Baltimore. I mean, that team is always good. That team is doing whatever it takes. They're willing to do whatever it takes to win, and that's why they're consistently in the playoffs, regardless who the quarterback is.
Carson Palmer is our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. You are here on behalf of FedEx Aaron Ground, NFL Players of the Year Award. And this is always cool. Voting is open and will close, though, by tomorrow. So our listeners have a chance to vote on who the best players are in the FedEx.
Yeah, voting closes tomorrow at 3. You can vote on the NFL Twitter page. You can vote on NFL.com/FedEx. Three great candidates from the quarterbacks. I mean, my vote's with Lamar Jackson, but Patrick Mahomes has obviously had a spectacular year. Russell Wilson had a phenomenal year that I feel like is being very overlooked. And as far as the FedEx,
he won't be the MVP and he won't be in the Super Bowl, and yet he had one of the best seasons, man, of his career.
He's spectacular. I love watching him play. The NFL Ground Players of the Year, I think it's going to be Derrick Henry. I mean, what he did was superb. Sure. Nick Chubb had a phenomenal year. Christian McCaffrey had a phenomenal year. So it's going to come down to the finish line. But fans, like I said, they can vote on the NFL Twitter page. You can vote on NFL.com/FedEx. Voting closes tomorrow. FedEx is donating $40,000 total to the USO program, which is an amazing program. The USO program helps our recently retired servicemen and servicewomen transition into the next phase of their career. So it's a spectacular, it's spectacular. The USO is awesome, and what FedEx is doing for the USO is awesome. But you got to vote now, because voting closes tomorrow at 3.
Carson Palmer joining us this morning on the show. Vote at NFL.com/FedEx or on the NFL Twitter page. This is great, man. Thanks
really
so much.
Really appreciate it. Thank you.
You got it. My pleasure. Carson Palmer, our guest here on Radio Row on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.